In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Today is the feast of Peter and Paul, the great solemnity of the two great apostles, Peter, who preached to the Jews, and Paul, who preached to the Gentiles. I'm starting with the 12th chapter of Acts. "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. He killed James, the brother of John," he lopped off his head with the sword, "and because he saw it, that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also." Peter is the head. Peter is the bishop. Peter is the one that always is mentioned first when you talk about the apostles. These were the days of unleavened bread, so they were the days just before Passover. "And when he had apprehended Peter, he put him in prison and delivered him for four companies of soldiers to keep him, intending after Passover to bring him forth to the people." So we see Peter is between guards. He can't get out. That the guards are guarding him so that he doesn't leave. Peter, why Peter? Because he's the head. "Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing by the church unto God for Peter." Do you know what unceasing prayer does? Do you know what unceasing prayer does? It unlocks the chains on Peter. Do you know what unceasing prayer does? It changes the atmosphere of a place. Do you know what unceasing prayer does? It causes God to work in miraculous ways. "And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison." So they really have him locked up, completely locked up. But that doesn't stop God. "And behold, the angel of the Lord came to Peter, and the light shone in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise, get up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands." So we see a miracle happening. This is a miracle. The angel of the Lord sets Peter free. Between soldiers, between guards outside the prison, Peter is set free. "And the angel said unto Peter, Gird yourself and bind on your sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast your garments about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed the angel, and was not that it was true." He thought it wasn't true. He thought he was seeing a vision. He thought that he was seeing a vision, and it was as true can be. There was no vision. It was a reality. But Peter didn't know it was a reality. He thought it was a vision. He thought he was dreaming. "When they were first past, they passed the first, then the second, they came unto the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them by its own accord." This is like an electronic eye. This is God opening a door. God opens doors. Do you know that God opens doors? He opens doors in your life. Do you know that when he shuts a door, he opens a door and opens two windows? Do you know that? That if a door has been shut in your face, that God has another plan? Do you know that? That is so important. "So the door opened to them that led into the city. And he passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him." So he doesn't need an angel now. "And when Peter had come to himself, he said, Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent his angel." Took an awful lot for him to believe it. And he hath delivered me from the hand of Herod, and from the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered this thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. What are they praying for? They're praying for the release of Peter. They are unceasingly praying for the release of Peter. And Peter knocked on the door where the disciples were, and the damsel came to open the door. Her name was Rhoda. And when she saw that it was Peter and heard that it was Peter's voice, she didn't open the gate, for she was filled with joy, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto Rhoda, "You are mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Again, you see, they're praying for the release of Peter. God releases Peter. Rhoda knows it's Peter's voice. But you know what? They say she's mad. Or maybe she's seeing the spirit or an angel. Then they said, it is his angel. And Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Why should they be astonished? They have been unceasingly praying for his release. And God did it. I tell you, this is just the way the church is. We pray for things and God does it. And we say, well, it would have happened anyway. I tell you, if that's going to be you, it would have happened anyway. We don't pray anymore. God opens doors. God sets people free. God sets prisoners free. These disciples show us that they really weren't even believing that their prayers were efficacious, and yet they were efficacious. God opened the jail door because the church was praying unceasingly. But the church has come to believe that it was he. It took time for that to happen. But he, beckoning unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he even thought it was an angel. He thought it was a dream. Or he thought it was a vision. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went to another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. Why? They're saying, what has become of Peter? And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea, and there he abode. I tell you, prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. Prayer does things. God works through prayer. Prayer is powerful. Are you praying today? What are you praying for? We're praying for Wayne. Wayne, who is going to have a big operation, that this might be cleared up in the name of Jesus. We're praying for Wayne. We're praying for other people today, that God would do something wonderful and something marvelous. We look at 2 Timothy 4. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at his appearing and as his kingdom, preach the word. Paul speaking to Timothy, preach the word. Be insistent in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to them teachers having itching ears. I tell you, we have itching ears today in 2015. People do not want to hear the truth. They once heard the truth, but now they're into the new age. Itching ears. They're not trusting God. They're not trusting God. People have itching ears. They go after the next person that's let them feel a little better than what they feel now. I tell you, itching ears are very prevalent in 2015. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, that's right, and shall be turned into fables, that's right. But watch you in all things, endure afflictions, do your work as an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. For I am now being offered as a libation, and my departure is at hand. What's a libation? It was a drink offering that was poured into the fire, that he is being poured out. His life is being poured out. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all who love his appearing. Let me tell you, Paul wasn't always a saint. He used to put prisoners and Christians in jail and kill Christians. But you see, God changed his life, gave him a new heart. God did something for Paul that only God can do. Let me tell you, God can only do something for you that only God can do. You must have faith. You must have trust. You must have trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Rely not on your own understanding. And when God answers your prayer, say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Don't say, well, it would have happened anyway. No, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Today's the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. We're going to look at another reading from the Gospel. Very simple. We've heard this so many times. And it's from St. Matthew, chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is the place of the source of the Jordan River. That's where it is. He asked the disciples, who do men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say he's John the Baptist. John the Baptist returned from the dead. Some say Elijah. Others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? That is the question that the Lord asks all of us. Who do you say that Jesus is? Is he a great teacher? Far more than a great teacher. Is he a great listener? Far more than a great listener. Is he a great prophet? Far more than a great prophet. Who is he? He said unto them, and whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Messiah, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter told Jesus who he was. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You are the Anointed One, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said unto Peter, blessed are you, Peter, son of John, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. What rock? The rock of Peter and the rock of his confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does that mean? The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Why? Because Jesus said so. I'm talking about the Catholic Church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the Catholic Church. Why? Because Jesus said so. No other reason. Not because we're holy. Not because we're good. But Jesus said so. And when Jesus said something, he fulfills his promise to the dotting of every I and the crossing of every T. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then he charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was the Christ. Let me tell you this. When you tell somebody, don't tell somebody this or that. The first thing they're going to do is tell somebody this or that. I don't know if the apostles did it, but I know that it's human nature. When you say, don't tell anybody this, you're going to make sure that someone is going to find out, because they said, well, you know, I was told in confidence, but I'm only telling you. Yeah, I'm only telling you. And that person is going to tell other people. Listen, when someone says, don't tell anyone, don't tell anyone. We continue. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke Jesus, saying, Do not do this. Far be it from thee, Lord. This shall not happen unto you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. Thou have been an offense to me, for you savor not the things of God, but those of men. So one minute Peter tells Jesus he is the Christ, the anointed one, the sent by God, and the next minute he says, No, you're not going to the cross. And Jesus said, Get behind me, Satan. You see, we're all like that. One day we're gung-ho for God, and then the next day we're just limp. We're all like that. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need that God would give us the Holy Spirit. How much we need the Spirit is just to the nth degree, a thousandth degree, that we need the Holy Spirit so that we can be faithful to Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, we are going to have downfalls. We are going to doubt. We are going to be afraid. We need the Holy Spirit. So let's ask for Him. Lord, give us the Holy Spirit. We need that you would give us the unction of the Spirit like we've never had. We ask you in faith for the Holy Spirit, Lord. We ask you in faith that you would give us that wonderful Holy Spirit. Let's continue. Let's continue with going to 1 Peter, and we're going to look at the third verse, 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, God has given us new birth by the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Yes, Jesus said that you must be born again. That happens in baptism, but also it happens as an adult. Catholics call it second conversion. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that doesn't fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Isn't that wonderful? Our inheritance of Jesus is incorruptible, it's undefiled, it doesn't fade, and it's reserved for us in heaven, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Jesus will reveal himself in the last time. He will come in glory as the judge of the living and the dead, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you have heaviness and manifold temptations. Yes, that happens to Christians, that there are temptations and manifold doubts. I tell you, keep on believing. No matter what happens in your mind, keep on believing that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, will be tried in fire, then that you would be found worthy of praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Just continue to believe. Continue to surrender your life. I appeal to you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to surrender your lives as a living sacrifice of praise. Are we surrendering our lives every day, giving Jesus full command of our lives? Are we doing that, or is it just a thing on Sunday? Every day we need to give him our life. We need to give him our life every single day. Why? Because we need him 100%. We don't need Jesus 60%. We need him 100% every day. Without him, we have nothing. We can do nothing. We are nothing. Receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. The end of your faith, that we have to be faithful every day until the day of our death. And what will we receive? The salvation of our souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied the grace that should come unto you. Yes, the prophets were not perfect. We make the prophetic word perfect because we have seen the Lord, and that He is the Christ, and He is the Son of the living God, and He is the resurrection and of the dead. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Only through our faith do the prophets become perfect, because they waited for the coming of Messiah. We have the coming of Messiah. What do we do with it? We need to give our whole life to Him. We need to give Him all that we are and all that we have. I tell you, this country is really, really a country with itching ears. Just the other day, what happened? They said that marriage would be between anyone, between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. Itching ears, wanting to hear the things that we want to hear. And yet, I tell you this, God will respond to what the Supreme Court has decided. 9 men concluding that marriage is between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. I'm telling you, God will respond. Honest. Look at the weather we've been having. Summer is here and we've got no summer. I tell you, Massachusetts was the first state to make legal same-sex marriage. And I don't care what you call it, it's not a marriage. It's something else, but it's not a marriage. It's something else, but it's not a marriage. And if you have nothing to do, I want you to read Romans 1 and 2. Even if you have something to do, read Romans 1 and 2. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. First of all, Jesus reveals Himself to us by faith, and at the end He will reveal Himself as He is. Hallelujah. We will not need faith. There was a little second grader that the nun was saying that, you know, when we're in heaven, everything is going to be different. We won't need faith and we won't need hope. And the little boy says, I know one thing that's going to be the same. And the nun said, well, what's going to be the same, Johnny? Love, because God is love. Oh, yes. Love will be the same and it'll be much more intense. Why? Because God is love. God is love. God is love. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in your ignorance. In other words, do not fashion yourself to what you used to be. You have become new creations in Christ. Fashion yourself after Jesus Christ, waiting for His appearing. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. Yes, how do we get holy? By being with the Holy One. Holiness comes by being with the Holy One. Holiness is caught, not taught. Being with Jesus, we receive becoming holy. Not that we're holy of ourselves. I don't care, you can say the rosary 50,000 times, but unless you say the rosary and you're with Jesus, you'll never become holy. Holiness comes because we are with Jesus. And if you call on God as Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things as silver and gold and vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but you have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish and without spot. Do you know that your redemption came through the blood of Jesus, that your redemption came not by any silver or gold? What are you worth? You are worth the blood of Jesus, not by silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus, who is the Lamb of God from the foundation of the world. Yes, you have been saved through the precious blood of the Lamb. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Please, we need to hear from you. We have not paid our May bills yet, and it's the end of June. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Or you go online, www.inseason.net. www.inseason.net. And don't forget the School of the Holy Spirit at Holy Rosary between July 19th and the 25th. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.